right, I'm Linda Kornheim, the co-chair.
Virginia Kaiser.
There we go.
Caitlin's consenting.
Linda, let's see, can we start with introductions of the committee members?
Yes, please.
Virginia Kaiser.
Bernadette DiPiero.
Tasha Williams Antoine.
Not on the committee, but Sasha Elliott, Green Hill Humane Society.
Isabel Merritt, Lynn County Animal Services.
Michael Johns, General Services Division Manager.
And Nathan Mitchell with Animal Services. And then it looks like we have a guest as well, if you don't mind doing a quick...
Yeah, Jackie Atkins, Feline Good Animal Rescue.
Okay, and then, hi, welcome. And it looks like we have one more guest. Do you mind doing a quick intro?
I'm Tara Nagelhout with Feline Good as well.
Awesome, okay, thank you. All right, Linda, you are good to proceed.
Ryan?
Yeah, and I'm Ryan Finnegan. And Michael, I think your notebook might be in my office.
Okay, thanks. I wondered where that went. And a pair of glasses, too, maybe.
Yes and yes.
Okay, I'll be by to pick them up.
That's great.
Thank you.
Michael, it's good to see you.
Thanks.
Glad to be back with us.
Thanks. Good to be back.
All right, do we have any public comment from anyone? Failing that, do we have any changes or additions to the agenda?
Linda, I'd just like to, if I have to scoot out of here for another meeting, if we could handle anything that the committee wants my input on, if we could handle that first, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly, we can do that, not a problem. All right, may I please have someone acknowledge the meeting minutes of January?
Acknowledged.
Thank you. All right, moving on to new and continuing business. Let's see, what can we have that we need Michael to address? First, are the reports, Nathan, did your office do the reports?
Yes, so why don't we go ahead and, if it works for the committee, we can go ahead and just go through kind of A through E, the different points listed under the new and continuing business.
All right.
Okay, and then the first one we had was the discussion of the rabies vaccine assistance, so just as a recap, at the last meeting, we had spoken about the rabies or the spay and neuter vouchers being used to help offset the cost of rabies vaccines. So let's see. So Michael, is that something you?
Yeah, we can maybe discuss a little bit. My inclination is to be against that because of first of all, rabies vaccines are they're cheap. And if people are so hard up that they can't afford a rabies vaccine, then maybe the entire concept of pet ownership needs to be relooked at for that individual. But I'm willing to discuss that.
Our thought was that this was somebody that was already applying for the spay and neuter voucher, and while that was being done, they could get the rabies vaccine and get them into the licensing.
Oh, to increase the, we can take a look at that. Like I said, I prefer if people have a little skin in the game when they're owning a pet.
Well, they're going to have to because the $100 for the spay and neuter is not going to spay or neuter anybody.
Yes, I realize that. So it would still be only $100. So if we use it for the rabies vaccine...
No, we were thinking they were two separate as an additional thing.
Oh.
Like $20 or something.
$100 for the
100 surgery and then
100 for the surgery 20, and then 20 additional. For the or 15 for the rabies.
Whatever the, yeah. I would say, I mean, most clinics, I would say average right now between 20 and 30.
Yeah.
Just to cover their staff costs.
Let's let me look into that a little bit, and we'll bring that part up at our next meeting.
Okay. I have that.
Okay.
Okay. And the next one we had was a list of clinics accepting spay and neuter vouchers. So in your packets, you'll find kind of on the last, very last page, there's a list of the different clinics that do accept vouchers. These are the ones that have either kind of coordinated with our office or have expressed interest in providing vouchers. Oregon Coast Humane Society has expressed some interest as well. So our staff are just looping back with them to see if we can get that set up.
All right, thank you.
No problem. And then...
What do you mean by our staff will get back to them?
So our staff are... we'll be reaching out to Oregon Coast Humane Society shortly. They had reached out to them prior. It sounded like maybe they had some additional questions. So our LCAS staff will just be reaching out to see if we can address those questions.
We had someone making visits to every veterinary office that they could find and talked to the office managers and familiarize themselves with the reporting, you know, protocols. And then it also would be wise at some point to have someone go to the Lane County Veterinary Medical Association. I mean, there was some resistance, mostly around inconvenience or money. They think, well, it's not worth our while.
Sure.
And then when the city decided to farm out its licensure to the southwest of the country, Texas, I think that's created a real problem. Because then you have to send stuff over to Texas. I mean, I live in Eugene and I've had to do that.
Right.
And it's part of the problem, I think.
That's
or
fair.
The challenge.
Sure.
Okay.
And then the other item was the spay and neuter voucher statistics from last fiscal year. So you'll find, so just to kind of familiarize yourselves with the packet, you can see kind of, so every month the utilized vouchers are notated. So on the second page of your agenda packet, you'll find a section kind of at the bottom portion of the page where it lists the different citations, and then also has a spot for the spay and neuter vouchers for dogs and spay and neuter vouchers for cats as well.
Where is this?
So that's on that page there, just on the second, yeah, that second set of numbers.
So since July, we've had 35 vouchers utilized.
That is correct, yes.
I mean, this is pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic.
Sure.
I mean, what was our license revenue for the last fiscal year offhand?
License revenue?
Yeah, I just did the budget. It was, I don't remember. I don't even want to guess now. I just did the budget.
But approximately?
I don't remember approximately. It was, you know, significant, a couple hundred thousand dollars, but.
Really?
One thing
for the county?
Yeah. One thing we haven't done, remember we were talking before about these spay-neuter vouchers and we were supposed to be putting 5%
right.
of the thing. We can't find anything that says that.
That was passed by a board order in 2003 at the same time, within a couple of weeks, that the city of Eugene at then Councilor, what's his name, former sheriff, he made the motion. I don't know. You could talk to Zoe.
Well, I'm not doubting that it was done. I'm just saying we
can't
find anything.
It's never been appealed.
So we're gonna just start doing it this budget. we're just going to take that 5% from the licensing fees and put it into it. We didn't have it separated out in its own line, so we're going to start doing that this new budget that starts 1st of July.
And then, you know, the corollary to that, though, is to make it available. And what we talked about, it's good to see you, by the way.
Thank you.
What we talked about last time was, in the event that there aren't enough takers knocking on the door from the county, in as much as dogs in other areas, say Eugene, which is the county seat, if indigent people, penniless people, if their dogs need it, there's no reason, and there's nothing in statute.
Well, there's a good reason. I'm not going to recommend in my budget, and especially in this tight general fund times where we get 65% of our budget, to use county funds to pay for something for people who live in the city. I'm just not going to do it.
Well,
and if it gets recommended to the budget committee, I would recommend it be disapproved. I just can't justify using general fund money.
Well, wait a minute. If this is licensed revenue, and if you say $200,000, give or take.
We can talk about this, but I'm not ever going to pay for county funds for city.
That's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. You're entitled to it.
As the manager of LCAS, my opinion's worth something.
It is. But to be antagonistic to the needs of, you know.
I agree there's needs. And the cities didn't want to be part of LCAS for whatever financial reasons.
I share all that.
And so they are on their own.
They're not doing anything.
Well, I.
We found out in the last meeting that they stopped basically doing spay and neuters. And coming over here, I just heard an interview on KLCC saying, well, it's hard to get someone, maybe next month. And then last time we talked, it was like, 2 days a week or something, maybe. So we still have a problem. And if we have proliferating canines, it's going to bite us somehow.
The only thing I can recommend is that you get in touch with your commissioners and they can bring it up to me. But I'm telling you, I will strongly advise them not to spend county funds to spay and neuter animals that are in the cities that don't do anything else with us. They don't buy our licenses. They don't cooperate and, you know, anything.
I share your antagonism, but I don't share your lack of, you know, empathy towards dogs that are, across some arbitrary city boundary.
Well, I agree. But I think I'm responsible for the taxpayer money of people who live in the county. And that's what I'm going to focus on.
Well, if they don't have a residence anyway, they could just say they live in a county.
Yes, I guess that is absolutely true. If someone, an indigent person came to us and said, I don't have a residence, then we could probably help them out. That is
correct. Does the county have any functions, any departments that serve the people of Eugene and not just
the people? Almost all the health and human services programs, since they're the health authority for the county, they cover everybody in the cities. But animal services used to be that way, but isn't anymore. But there's quite a bit of overlap over the areas that the county covers for the cities. And I'm thinking mainly of Health and Human Services Commissioner, maybe if you could think of something else, but there are quite a bit of things that Health and Human Services does.
But I mean, if you look at West Lane and East Lane, there's a lot of dogs out there. And there's probably a lot of unlicensed, unvaccinated dogs out there. And what kind of strategy could we implement? Or, you know, if it's $200,000, let's say, in licensing collected revenue, okay, then what is that, $10,000 a year?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing off the top of my head. That's what it was. I don't have my budget in front of me.
But $10,000 a year, how much approximately is the total amount of the vouchers that we distributed last year, how many were there in 1 year?
Well, so for last year, you'll find that in your packet as well. So that'll be the second to last page.
Okay. And what was that?
You'll see that there were 42 vouchers utilized, so 9 dog vouchers and then 33 cat vouchers.
That's good. Now, what was the equivalent money?
So 40, about 4,000. Yeah, 4,200.
4,200.
Correct. Yeah.
So 4,200 is not even 50% of 5% of the total revenue.
Yes, that's
so. We have some work to do. And how do we get the word out to these outlying areas? Now, so, like, for example, Florence. They have the Florence Humane Society.
Right.
They serve Lake, you know, whatever it is, Lakeside, and, you know, all these other areas on 36.
Correct.
Well, couldn't we partner with a veterinarian in Florence who could say, well, if you don't live in the Florence city limits, we can give you a voucher?
That's definitely an option.
Well, we've been building a relationship with the Coast Humane Society, and definitely they're aware. Mm-hmm. They have access to these vouchers. I don't know how many they've used, because this is just within the last year we've developed a relationship with them.
See, when the county had the city contract, it was about $900,000 all told, but we raised all their license revenue.
Right.
Plus received $100,000 a year in donations, LCAS.
Well, license revenue for the city now doesn't go to their animal services program, it goes to their general fund.
Well,
which is contrary to the ORS.
But. Right now. But the county LCARES contract with the city of Eugene included all the functions, many of which are not being done today, plus raising all the city's licenses.
Right.
I mean, we subsidized the city in many ways.
That's correct.
We had individual workers' assistants personally visit all the vets. We even did a door-to-door canvas in Santa Clara. You may remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Went door-to-door and raised money. I don't know, it's just frustrating because we know that distributing vouchers to low-income dog companion owners, Dave doesn't like the word companion, but statistically reduces the number of unwanted and repeatedly breeding canines or felines. So anyway.
I just can't get there.
Well,
I just can't do it. And I would be a hard, that'd be a very hard sell for the budget committee to approve that when I went to them saying we're going to spend these money to help City of Eugene, City of Springfield, all the other incorporated cities in Lane County with our county funds from our licenses, from our citizens. I don't, maybe if the commissioners are approached, they'd be more agreeable to it than I am. But since I don't have any other jurisdiction over these, their animals, I don't want to start by doing this. By giving them things.
That's one way to frame it. Another way is to help destitute peoples who love their animals.
We will absolutely help all the destitute people and their animals who live in Lane County, in unincorporated Lane County. And if the city wants to have a program like that, we'd be more than happy to consult with them and tell them how we do it. But I know the money they raise now from their animal service, from their licenses, doesn't even go to the animal services program that they have. A big chunk of it goes to that place in Texas, the pet data in Texas, and then the rest, what I've heard from their supervisor from EPD is that it goes back into their general fund, which I don't know how they even get away with that, because that's against the ORS.
Well, I'm talking to a pretty influential member of the city council, and some of this stuff will be addressed.
Yeah, we'd love to we're working some things now to work more closely with both Eugene and Springfield about some of these issues. We're all going to be cooperating more. So it's kind of developing as we go along. But the money part is the long pole.
I mean, what you say, the city has basically been on the sly in a way, because there's no citizen advisory committee watching that. And only if you really spend time with a counselor and share what you know and the validity or the need for something, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I agree.
And so now, I mean, from 1978, when we had the Tri-County Animal Services and bought the First Avenue Shelter together, one of the things that still remained was the city doing spay and neuters. And now, just quietly, they are pulling back. And as you say, the money from licensing is just going back. You know, that is, take a look at that.
Yeah, it's because it's called the Dog Control Authority, which is usually the county by ORS. But cities can have their own, and Eugene's...
But they really...
They have two people? Now they only have one in Eugene.
And it should never have gone to... God bless the police, I depend on them for my safety and all. But we went through, for the last 20 years, animal services tried to get rid of the onerous dog catcher, everyone's hostile to them syndrome, and as a result...
That's why we have animal welfare officers instead of animal control officers.
And that's why we have it in your department rather than the county sheriff's.
I agree. I mean...
So they screwed up.
The animal services, I think, gets a lot more love when they're in public works than they do when they're a law enforcement agency.
You know, I'm sure Chief Skinner loves dogs, but it's not their bailiwick.
Right.
And so the fact that they did that, well, it's all ancient history, we know it.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's good talking to you. Are we...
Yes. And then so the next topic we had, I guess, was just the last one about the spay and neuter voucher use for cats or for felines. Is that something you would like to...
Yeah, what was the question about the spay and neuter voucher for cats? Because we use it for cats.
No, I don't know.
So
I think we have.
Was it for those areas that are considered city? Like I know I mentioned I brought up Cottage Grove last time.
I see.
Where they were only giving out vouchers for dogs, but they didn't have any support for feline. Mm-hmm. You know, was that an option for our county ones to be available if they're still within city limits?
No, it's for the same reason.
Same thing. Okay.
I want to keep county funds serving the county population.
You know, the problem is that if it's done in a veterinary office, or they don't have maps of the jurisdictional boundary lines.
Well,
and they don't want to mess with it.
Well, I mean, if something is sent to us in the state, we're going to pay it anyway. Okay, and I'm very flexible. It doesn't happen very often. Sometimes we'll get somebody calling in and say, we don't have money to get our animal euthanized. Well, I'll pay for that. I don't want to start advertising that because then everyone would do it. But it happens occasionally. So we're not draconian in our... I'm very liberal with the interpretation as we have it. But a policy to serve citizens of Eugene or Cottage Grove or wherever who doesn't pay, they don't pay anything to us. I think that's where I have to draw the line.
When someone asks to have help with euthanizing a pet, do you require that a veterinarian or someone has absolutely determined that it's absolutely necessary?
Usually it's one of the animal welfare officers who've already visited and they know it for a fact and they approach me.
Had a veterinarian corroborated?
Well, animal welfare officers are also... able to determine if the pet needs to be put down. Or it comes from a vet.
If we're not sure, we require that they get vet care.
Yeah.
And then based on the vet opinion, we approach Michael and ask for authorization of euthanasia.
Yeah. Because everything I do here, I'm not concerned about making a lot of money in licenses or fines or tickets. I want to get animals out of bad situations.
Right.
And that's what we try to always err on the side of doing that. So.
Thanks, Michael.
Are we allowed to ask questions?
Certainly, I would. Yeah.
Directed to the chair,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not charging, I'm just saying.
May I ask a question? Is there a way that says how many spay and neuter vouchers for cats and dogs were distributed versus how many were used?
They don't distribute them until somebody applies for them.
Right, they're all, those are all used. Those
okay.
are all, that's all cash going out the door.
I would agree. I have fixed more than 33 individual citizens' cats in the last year myself. Like me personally, so the 33 or the 9 dogs seems like an extremely small number.
Right.
If vouchers are given out, granted, I'm looking at the list of where the vouchers.
And remember,
can be
that's
used.
Only unincorporated Lane
yes.
County.
Yeah.
So city dogs and cats wouldn't fall under there.
Correct.
It's, okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I do a lot of trapping all over, and
all right.
as a result, people call me, and I get tagged everywhere.
Well, then you should be asking for more vouchers. Use
I,
it more, because we have the money.
I don't think I can use well. I'm going to WAG or I'm driving to Salem to use a vet because these aren't cost of, like the $100 voucher at Echo Hollow ends up being a good deal. It's like $42 just for the spay. But some of these other places on the list are like $800
yes,
to fix a
I
cat.
Realize,
so
yeah.
the if the individual gets a free kitten, it sounds like a great deal.
No,
but then if you have to pay $600 at one of these places to just fix them, it adds up. And some of these places, like Echo Hollow, will take the voucher, but you have to pay the $78 first visit before you set up the appointment. So they have to come up with the $78 to do it.
Well, one of, like I said, we had never separated out in a separate budget line that spay-neuter money, which we're starting to do. So we're going to be able to do a little analysis on that as, you know, out in future years to see how much we're putting in there, how much we're spending, and if there's year after year there's more money in the that line item than what we're spending, you know, we'll continue our outreach efforts to get, try to get it used more.
I mean, in the, you know, since you've been intimately involved in this over the last decade, we've had conversations wherein you would say in May, I'd say, well, during this fiscal year, whatever, how much is left?
Yeah, we didn't know.
Well,
because we didn't have a separate
well,
line item.
But no, we said 5% of the of the revenues received, how much of that 5% is remaining.
Right.
And there usually would be a lot.
Yes.
And then initially, it would go back to the general fund, but then it went back to the internal animal services fund. And then it would be rolled over to the next fiscal year, I think.
Well, and we spent, or we spend the money on something else. So we're not a general fund program. But we get 65% of our budget every year in a transfer from the general fund to us. But it's not like the general fund just gives us, you know, money every, it's a one-time shot that they transfer the money and that's our budget. Of course, the general fund is under a lot of pressure now, and there's an imbalance. So anything we can do to reduce our reliance on general fund would be greatly appreciated downtown, I'm sure.
Okay. Where are we on the agenda here?
Well, I think those were all of the items, unless there were others that the committee wanted to discuss, but I think that's...
Now, vouchers for cats, you were...
I think that's what it was.
It was the
college growth. I mean, this has been talked about for eons.
Right.
Have we given vouchers for cats in emergencies or in hoarding situations or whatever, where the cats were?
Well, that would be more of a Green Hill answer. They have their own program for dealing with, you know, hoarding situations. Or feral situations, which, you know, we don't get involved in.
Even for unincorporated Lane County?
Lane County Animal Services does not handle feral cat populations in unincorporated Lane County. We have nowhere near the resources to do it. Now, we've cooperated, so, you know, occasionally with transportation and things like that. Green Hill, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but usually with one of the rescue organizations, they find a colony, they'll say, we can give you this many spay or neuters a day
sure.
for whatever, and they take them there. Then if they can be adopted on Green Hill's determination that it could be a domesticated cat, they'll keep them and adopt them out. If it's feral, in Green Hills determination, it goes back to the property they came from.
After it's been sterile.
After it's been spayed or neutered, yeah.
Green Hill activity, are we there?
If there's nothing else for me, I have to run to get to another meeting. But good to see you all again.
Good to see
and
you.
I'll be back from now on Mondays.
It's great to see you. You look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh. This vest must fit a lot better than I thought it did.
You're in great shape.
Hey, thank
thanks,
you, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, where are we now? Are we at Green Hill?
Sure. Yeah, we remain incredibly busy. We have two current court cases with Lane County Animal Welfare officers, a third just resolved at the end of last week. Three dogs participated.
Is that the horse abuse one?
No.
We can go into that after she.
Yeah, so we have one dog from one situation in which an owner has previously been cited and instructed not to have companion animals. We have three dogs from another situation that have been with us since December 13th. We're hoping for court resolution at the end of this month, although it may go on longer. And then we just had a resolution for two dogs that were seized at the end of December. The judge made a ruling on them last.
Are these all neglect or abuse cases?
They are variation, yeah.
Can't say a whole lot as most of them are open cases at this time going into trial, so I can't give out a whole lot of information.
Yeah, just in general, we're working collaboratively and very, very busy. Yeah.
Now, when we have this case that KZI talked about of an atypical abuse of a horse situation, who houses the horse?
So
who rescues the horse from that situation?
That is an LCSO criminal case that's open right now. So that is completely on the sheriff's office. LCAS has no involvement with that. Due to the severity of the crime, it rises to a criminal citation level, which is not something that we can be involved in. So we don't really have any information on what's going on with that.
Has the horse been rehoused somewhere?
I honestly don't know. The sheriff's kind of took it over and are dealing with it.
We can say historically when there are horses within Lane County that need assistance, Sound Equine Solutions, which is a horse rehabilitation center out of Portland, will come down and assist.
And we also have Woe and a couple other smaller, close to Eugene areas.
Very strange case. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to say? Where is Green Hill's contract right now with the city? Do you have a contract?
That is a great question. We are in, we have not entered into a new contract. We are currently in the third extension of the previous contract, which expires the end of March.
Wow. And what's the point of that?
I'm not the person.
Is there irreconcilability in terms of the scope of work and the amount of money?
You know, not much has changed since this conversation that we had about a year ago. The original request for proposal that they put out was significantly different than the scope of services that we currently perform for City of Eugene Animals and Residents. It changed the activity of the Good Samaritans. It changed the type of species. It significantly cut funding. And so at this point, we submitted a proposal for that request with the clause that said we have significant concerns about this, and really the community and expectation is that more animals will be served. And that's kind of where it lied. There has not been any movement in terms of a new scope of services or RFP.
So the point of disputation in that was that heretofore and currently now with this rollover thing, you do, if Eugene citizens come with a dog they found, or a dog that's in, whatever, this is not a staff member, but if a citizen brings it under the proposed city reduced contract, you couldn't treat them or take them in.
At this point, we are operating under the previous scope
and so
of
you
services,
do take them in.
And so we do, yes, we do provide safe shelter for all species within Eugene city limits brought in by Good Samaritans and by officers. We also are still facilitating a 24-hour intake protocol for officers or first responders that find an animal outside of business hours.
And that is within your current budget that ends next month?
That is within the previous budget, an agreement that ended June 30th of last year.
But the level of funding is being sustained in these little increments, right?
Tiny little increments, yeah.
Okay. Who is the point person of the on the city that you interact with who is advancing their budgetary reduction? Who is the point person?
Hard to say. We have a direct relationship with the animal welfare officer in the city of Eugene. We've also met with her supervisor. We've also met with the city manager and her team as well. And as you know, we've also gone before the city council, as well as other representatives of the community have voiced their opinion in terms of priorities for animal welfare and support for those animals and people. And everybody's has kind of told us it's somebody else's decision.
Well, but the police department, which has jurisdiction over animal services in Eugene, right? Mm-hmm. Are they in favor of such a draconian reduction? Did they propose that in the budget that was passed June 30th?
I'm not sure I can publicly speak on that. I think that would be a good question for animal services or EPD or the city manager.
Do you know who the Eugene PD's budget person is with regard to animal services?
Well, the chief is ultimately responsible for
right
everything that falls under EPD's guidance, including animal services.
Right, but who's the staff person that does the chief's work that you've interacted with? That's public record.
Yeah, let me think of his name and I can get that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Good. Anything other? You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
We love you and we love you coming here too, by the way. All right, Lane County Animal Services activity.
Sure. So Isabel, do you have any updates you'd like to share?
We've been extremely busy in the recent months. We've been dealing with a lot of livestock and mud. Pretty standard calls for this time of year. We've seen a slight uptick in dangerous behavior calls in the last month, which means we're kind of heading into our busy season now that we got some warm weather. Dogs are kind of coming out, running around some more. Other than that, it's been about business as usual.
Did the ice storm cause you guys any grief?
So there were a couple people we had to help provide resources, direct them into the right area. They needed some supplies for their animals and everything. But all in all, not too bad. There were some concerns for flooding and mud once the ice melted, and then we had that rainstorm. We definitely saw a slight uptick in like animals in mud, flooding, people needing assistance.
Oh, wow.
Well, in our neighborhood, there are several fences that were taken out by fallen trees and stuff mm-hmm. like that. We have neighbors up from us that have 15, 20 goats, and one of their trees completely went out, wiped out the fence, and then around the other corner there's four pastures, and tree took out one of their fences on one of their pastures and stuff. Fortunately, the other pastures were okay, but I wondered if there were animals that went, don't come.
I think there were a few, but that's something that the sheriff normally deals with is the livestock at large. We didn't really get too many reports forwarded to us of that, so I'm hoping everyone was able to contain their animals pretty okay.
Well, that's good.
When you do your monthly, well, your work, are you going out 126 to the west and 126 to the east and out 58 to all those unincorporated areas and Cheshire and Swiss Home? So you really have, you're familiar with that super well, and you go out there. So you're real familiar with that?
Yes.
Good job.
Yeah, we cover all unincorporated areas and anything that...
Way out to Westfur and that,
yeah,
right?
We go out to Westfur, McCready Springs, the lake up there, it's Waldo Lake. We go out Swiss Home, Deadwood, thank you.
Past Marcola.
Past Marcola, out to the Linn County border. We go out to Doom City.
Right on.
So to add to that, too, for the cities of Westfur and Lowell, so they don't actually have, correct me if I'm wrong, their own kind of animal welfare officers.
Doesn't Lynn a Lowell contract with the county?
That is correct, yes, both
Lowell
of those.
And Westfur,
yes.
Yeah. So they have a signed contract with us. They call us, approve. They have to go through their city managers, get it approved to call us out. Then we go out, bill them for our time. And we only do very specific actions, animal neglect and abuse, dangerous dog at large, things that provide are a hazard to the community or animals that are not being properly cared for.
There's no veterinarian in Lowell, is there?
I believe there used to be, but I don't know if there's still a vet office open up there.
Pleasant Hill has one.
They closed down.
Oh, they closed down?
Pleasant Hill Vet closed down and is now part of VCA.
Oh, wow.
Everyone was pretty upset about that.
I don't know what Lowell's city limits is, whether it's expanded to accommodate development and stuff, but it can't be enormous. And so Fall Creek and Little Fall Creek and all that area, do you serve that area?
Yep, that's unincorporated communities.
Good job.
Thanks for the reminder about the ice storm. It already feels like it was ages ago. In terms of companion animal support, Green Hill sent staff members out. We distributed about 2,000 pounds of food, as well as crates, bedding, cat litter, leashes, collars, harnesses. To the Red Cross set up a human shelter in Cresswell that allowed companion animals to stay with their humans. Cottage Grove did the same thing and saw, I think, well over 100 people access that shelter for several days. We also worked with the City of Eugene, had a temporary resource center set up at the fairgrounds, and the City of Springfield had a multi-day event at their City Hall where we were able to distribute resources to help people and
pets stay
together.
What about Junction City? How about Elmira, Vinita, Junction City?
I'm not sure. We didn't get a call for help out in any of those locales. We would look forward to building relationships with them when non-emergencies are taking place to be able to continue to figure out how to quickly respond and get resources out there. Carrie, our executive director, also sat in the EOC for, I think it was like a week and a half, to be able to help distribute resources and volunteers and move items to where people needed them.
Excellent. Any open discussion, or have we had enough open discussion? Any of our guests care to add anything?
My name is Luann. I volunteer with CRAN, Cat Rescue Adoption Network. I am just here to tell you that even though it's the first week of February, kitten season is well upon us. So when I heard you were going to talk about the spay-neuter vouchers, I was pretty excited because we in 2023, and we are an all-volunteer organization, in 2023 we received 725 requests for help from people within Lane County. And I'm here to say I don't care if they live within the city limits or outside of a city limits. We facilitated 623 spays and neuters in 2023.
Really? What's the name of your group?
CRAN, Cat Rescue and Adoption Network. We don't receive any government money, so, you know, we're not here asking for government money. But we're asking for support in spays and neuters of cats in the county. I think you all are mostly, I'm a dog person too, but you're mostly dog people.
No, the spay-neuter voucher is for dogs or cats. There is no discrimination on it.
Okay.
So those individuals that live outside of city limits are able to apply for it,
yeah,
and could add that too when you take them in and have them spayed and neutered. So, but they have to do it. You as an individual couldn't do it.
Well,
it's maxed out one per household, but they could apply. You can definitely send them that way.
I think in the past with WIAG or something else, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But I think with organizations, nonprofits, et cetera, that do a lot of, you know, pro bono work, I think LCAS has advanced a certain number of vouchers, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe we have in the past done that.
That's yeah. Correct. And so that, you know, you use the vouchers and then you report on when you've used them and for which pet. So you could work with the staff and see if that's still viable.
We could. I was not aware of vouchers until I started coming to these meetings. Vouchers were part of ancient history for this area, as far as I knew.
Well, we just got an increase to $100.
We're excited about that. $50. Yes, because if you go to a private veterinary clinic, a spay is going to cost you somewhere between...
It's unbelievable.
Now, I'm not counting WAG, because they are a nonprofit, low-cost spay-neuter clinic. But even a spay there goes up steadily because of costs. But I think if you go to any of the private veterinary practices in this county, you're going to be paying at the low end $300 for a spay. Neuters will be less.
And you have to mortgage
and
your home.
You're going to be paying potentially up to $1,200 for a...
We understand.
So
the positive part of this is you can work with Nathan and Michael, and it might help you. I think it will. So the witching hour is coming. Is there any further conversation?
My colleagues here represent a different cat rescue.
We're experiencing the same thing.
Okay, we're approaching the adjournment. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is Monday, March 11th at 4 p.m.
Correct? Correct. But it sounds like maybe our guest did want to maybe had some comment they wanted to add.
Okay,
are we
briefly.
Able to facilitate that?
Sure.
Your county and your cities are drowning in cats. We're just looking for support in getting them the population humanely under control, because I can tell you what people out there in the community do to cats that they don't want.
Please don't.
So we're looking for humane solutions to cat overpopulation.
I went to an unincorporated house Monday, I think it was, last week. Somebody had kittens, and they asked if our rescue would take them. And I turned them down back in October because we were still absolutely chaotic. So I went to their house because they messaged me the day after we agreed to take them, and they said, they're dying. And I said, what? So I donned up my booties and my hazmat suit, and I went to their house, and the kittens had Pan Luke. And the kittens,
what?
Pan Luke. Yeah. And the kittens are dying. And when I pulled up to her house, I went, oh my God, there's six cats in your yard. And she was like, oh, that's just a small fraction. And she then proceeds to show me, please keep in mind this person who works at a vet office. She proceeded to take me to her backyard where cats scatter. And I'm like, oh my God. And she walks me to her property fence line, where on the other side of the property is a business who in full good faith has dog igloos, bales of straw, and food everywhere.
Oh,
and there are 30 cats. And I'm like, are any of these fixed? No. And I'm like, okay, so now I'm seeing baby kittens dying of Pan Luke. I'm seeing the adults that aren't vaccinated. And I'm like, what do? So I immediately called Officer Debbie and was like, ah! Officer Debbie's with the city of Eugene. I didn't know at the moment that this property was like right over the line. So I'm now going, great. And guess who gets to fix that?
Was this in the city of Eugene?
No, it's right on the border. So
it's in an unincorporated
part? It's on an unincorporated part. So
I think you might want to talk to Michael when he's available. Have a heart-to-heart.
This happens every week. I mean, Barger has a house with 40 cats. Like,
he was very he was very diligent about wanting to serve the companion animals in the unincorporated area. You need to talk to him. And maybe Nathan can arrange it. But I think we're drawing it to a close. So.
Well, the county no longer has the trap, neuter,
yeah.
spay, neuter release program that they used to have.
Yeah.
They dropped that in COVID times, and yeah. they haven't picked it back up.
Yeah. So it's WEG has $66 for a TNR. So yeah. I can personally pay $66 to fix all 30 cats. Uh-huh. Oh. I spent $15,000 of my own money last year on cats.
What's your name?
My name is Jackie Atkins. Cat rescue is the dumbest thing I ever spent.
Nobel Prize for...
No, I'm doing the same thing that 15, 20 of us are doing. That's a good answer, though.
All right, we're going to adjourn, but...
We're in the city of Eugene. Okay,